this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some great guests on for you. In the first half, we're going to have Rosemary Pierce and talking about the benefits of bone broth. And in the second half, we have author and naturopathic physician Karen Jensen speaking about women's health matters. But first, here is Alan with the Health First News.
Could the calcium supplement you take to help your bones be harming your colon? That's the suggestion from a new study that finds a link between the daily supplement and increased risk for polyps in the colon. Polyps are not cancerous, but some can eventually turn into cancer if they're not removed. Further research is needed to confirm the findings, but if calcium supplements do boost the risk of polyps, this has important public health implications for colon cancer prevention and screening, the study authors concluded. The study was led by Dr. Seth Crockett of the University of North Carolina School of Medicine in Chapel Hill. His team tracked outcomes for 2,000 people aged 45 to 75 who all had a history of polyps. The study was published online March 1st in the journal Gut. People who eat fish regularly seem to have a lower risk of developing multiple sclerosis, researchers report. How much fish makes a difference? In this study, people who ate fish at least once a week, or who ate fish 1 to 3 times a month and took daily fish oil supplements, had a 45% lower risk of developing multiple sclerosis compared to folks who ate fish less than once a month and who didn't take fish oil supplements. Study author Dr. Annette Langer-Gould said the study showed one more potential benefit of a seafood diet, noting that eating fish regularly has already been linked to a lower risk for cardiovascular disease. She's the regional lead for clinical and translation neuroscience for Kaiser Permanente, Southern California. The study is to be presented at the American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting in April in Los Angeles. For people who have both type 2 diabetes and heart failure, new research offers a mixed message on taking a daily low-dose aspirin. The study found the daily pill can reduce the risk for heart failure-related hospitalization and death in people who have both conditions. However, it also found that a daily aspirin raises their risk for non-fatal heart attack and stroke. The findings came from the analysis of data from more than 12,000 residents of the United Kingdom, 55 and older. They all had heart failure and type 2 diabetes, but no history of heart attack, stroke, peripheral artery disease, or the heart rhythm disorder, atrial fibrillation. The findings are to be presented March 11th at a meeting of the American College of Cardiology in Orlando, Florida. If people with sleep apnea who've been hospitalized for any reason don't use their breathing treatments when they return home, they're much more likely to end up back in the hospital. They were 3.5 times more likely to be readmitted for any reason than 30 days, a new study found. And those who didn't comply with their breathing treatment were more than twice as likely to be readmitted to the hospital due to a heart disease condition within 30 days. Study author Dr. Behrouz Jafari said any patient that comes to the hospital for any reason, it could be orthopedic surgery or pneumonia or something else, who also has sleep apnea, needs to know if you don't use your CPAP, the chances are much higher you'll be readmitted to the hospital in 30 days. He's director of the sleep program at the Veterans Affairs Long Beach Healthcare System in California. The study was published recently in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine.
We're going to have to go to breast cancer with Dr. Cheryl Myers for the first half because we haven't got the call in, and here they are.
Okay, we're back, and as I stated earlier, our first guest is actually a repeat interview that Kathy Hart did with Cheryl Myers discussing breast cancer.
Today we have Cheryl Myers, RN. She's an integrated health nurse, author, and expert on natural medicine. She is a nationally recognized speaker who has been interviewed by the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Prevention magazines. Her many articles have been published in such diverse journals as Aesthetic Surgery Journal and Nutrition in Complementary Care. And her research on botanicals has been presented at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the North American Menopause Society. Cheryl Myers is head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma Incorporated. So welcome, Cheryl. We're going to be speaking about breast cancer today and the importance of prevention in breast cancer.
Thank you so much. It's delightful to be here.
Oh, good. What are some of the root causes of breast cancer? Why is it happening so much these days?
Well, there's a couple of issues that are involved, and I wish I were smart enough to tell you absolutely in every instance the cause, because sometimes women do all the right things, and they still end up with breast cancer, and sometimes women do all the wrong things, and sometimes they don't end up with breast cancer. So there's probably a lot that we don't fully understand, but I'll tell you some of the things we do know. Number one is there's a lot of environmental exposure to compounds that didn't exist 100 years ago. And those compounds are called xenoestrogens, xeno meaning foreign. And some of them that your listeners might be familiar with are things like the plasticizer in plastics called BPA, and that stands for bisphenol A. So whenever you look at, you know, canteens or cans or water bottles and they say BPA-free, that's a good thing because we don't want to be exposed to BPA. It turns out that our body treats that as if it were estrogen. And there's good forms of estrogen and bad forms of estrogen. And some of the bad forms are like throwing gasoline on the fire when it comes to breast cancer cells. So some of it is the fact that we have done a lot with our environmental exposure and to some of our food exposures that have set us up for some dysfunctional hormonal states. A couple of other things that are linked to breast cancer, women drink more alcohol now than they did 100 years ago. And when you start to drink more than, for most women, on average, one drink per day, you raise your risk of breast cancer. More women are smoking. Women who smoke have higher risks of breast cancer. Obesity and overweight. Fat cells predispose us to a variety of cancers, one of which is breast cancer, for a couple of reasons. One, fat cells make estrogen. And so we end up with some imbalances in our hormones. But perhaps more importantly than that, when we carry extra fat cells on our body, then we end up living in a pro-inflammatory state. And we look at the root cause of lots of different cancers. Some of the very, very first things that start to happen are chronic inflammation and chronic damage by oxidation. And that's something that can happen with that as well. So the list goes on and on of the reasons why we're seeing more women, thankfully, are not dying of breast cancer, but the rate of breast cancer keeps going up, and we certainly aren't doing a very good job with prevention.
What is the role of estrogen in breast cancer?
Well, when our body makes hormones, and we make an awful lot, and lots of people have heard of estrogen and testosterone, but there's things like thyroid hormone, thyroxine, and there's adrenal hormones, and there's all different kinds of hormones in our body, and I describe them as bicycle messengers. So when you see those movies about, life in the big city, where the bicycle messengers are whipping in and out of traffic to deliver their message, well, if you're a bicycle messenger and you reach an office and you hand over a package and they open it and it says, it's been a very good year. Everybody's getting $1,000 bonus for Christmas. Boy, there's going to be a huge reaction, right? People are going to be whooping it up. Champagne's going to be open. There's going to be lots of hugging and joy. That same bicycle messenger may drive somewhere else and deliver an envelope. And when they open it, it may say it's been a very bad year. Everybody is going to lose their jobs in 1 week. There's going to be a whole different kind of reaction. So hormones are messengers. They don't have so much power in and of themselves. These hormones tell the body what to do, and the message they deliver is really, really powerful. One of the messages we have with estrogen is to grow and to replicate and to be free. And when you are 11 years old, 12 years old, and you're starting to go through puberty, that's an excellent message to have. When you're a young mother that's trying to get pregnant, when you are a mom who's breastfeeding, the role of our hormones are very, very important. But there are times when they can also be dysfunctional. And if we have breast cells that have been damaged and have become cancer cells so that they don't know when to stop growing, when they listen to that signal, it can be somewhat dangerous because you don't want to tell a cancer cell to grow and be free and to replicate. You want to tell it to slow down. You want to tell it to go the other direction. And unfortunately, that's not estrogen's message.
Okay. So are all the breast cancers the same type? If you get breast cancer, is it always the same type?
No, absolutely not. And even if it's the same kind of breast cancer in two different women, it can behave in different ways. So that's what makes it very difficult to deal with. not just breast cancer, but any cancer, is because of the level of complexity. It's not just one thing that's happening. There's many things that are happening at one time. There are breast tumors that respond to estrogen in a very negative way. There are some breast tumors that don't respond to estrogen at all. There are breast tumors, as you said in your promo when you were talking about the newest news, there are certain types of breast cancers that have a very positive ability to respond to chemotherapy. There are some types of breast cancer that don't respond very well to chemotherapy at all. There are some kinds of breast cancers that grow very quickly, some that grow very slowly. So it's, you know, it may be one name, breast cancer, but it's always important to learn and understand everything you can about your diagnosis so you know the right questions to ask.
Okay. What modifications can we make to our diet to help prevent breast cancer?
Well, you know, there's so many things that we can do. And but you have to recognize there's always going to be some things that are out of your control. You know, we're always going to be exposed to toxins that we're not aware of. There may be things that happen in our lives that we don't even know are a risk factor yet. So, but there are some controllable things. First and foremost, of course, is don't smoke. Do not use alcohol excessively. Try to maintain a healthy weight. And if you are overweight, and I am not throwing rocks because I believe that obesity is a disease that we do not fully understand. I believe that people who are overweight are not necessarily weak-willed individuals that don't know when to put the fork down. I think there's some very easy to see things that are happening that are not working right in their bodies.
And often hormonal.
Pardon me?
I say and often hormonal.
Often hormonal and often lots of other things that are going on as well, including additives to food that we're not even aware of. But putting that aside, if you are, let's say you're 210 pounds. Mm-hmm. If you can, over the course of a year, go from 210 down to 205, that's a good thing. Now, 5-pound weight loss, it doesn't seem like very much, does it? That's less than half a pound a month. But I'll tell you why it's important, is because current research is finding that the direction your weight is moving in has a big impact on several health parameters. So let's say you were 175 pounds, and over the course of that same year you gained 5 pounds. You may be in worse shape from a health standpoint than the 210-pound person who lost 5 pounds. So direction that you're traveling, the trajectory, are you in weight gain mode or are you in weight loss mode, can make a big difference to a lot of different things that impact all kinds of health systems in the body, but also cancer development as well. So if you feel overwhelmed with the fact that, gee, many Christmas, I've got to lose 75 pounds or 100 pounds or 50 pounds or whatever your own personal Waterloo might be, if you're feeling a little overwhelmed by that, notch that number down. Even if you take off a few pounds, that's still a very good thing for you. I've have mixed feelings about mammograms. I know that some people swear by them and some do not like them at all. I don't think that they're nearly as useful or as preventative as we are sometimes led to believe. But I do believe in breast self-exam. I do believe that every now and then in the shower, women should do a rotating examination of the breast to see if they detect any lumps or tumors, because the majority of breast cancer tumors are self-discovered. So there are some things that can do that. Increase your intake of cruciferous vegetables. Those are vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, bok choy, Brussels sprouts. Everything in that family has compounds in it called dietary indoles that have been shown to help keep estrogen in its safer form. Make sure you have a good amount of iodine on board. Eat foods that are rich in iodine, or maybe even consider taking an iodine supplement. We're not getting near the iodine we used to in our diet. So iodine can be very useful in helping prevent breast cancer. So there are lots of different things we can do with diet and lifestyle. Even a little bit of activity. If you are sedentary, and I don't know the data for Canada, but I know in the United States that when they look at adults over the age of 30, a full 25% get zero exercise every week. That's zero. They have no formalized exercise, not even walking around the block. So that's one out of four. I do not know what those stats are in Canada, but I'm guessing it's a little bit similar. If you are getting no exercise whatsoever, walk around the block once a week. Modest goals.
Sounds good, yep. Cheryl. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more about breast cancer prevention with Cheryl Myers.